Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Breakthrough Directions. Each week, Breakthrough Directions explores the two faces of your business, outward through marketing and client delivery, and inward, your vision, profit model, systems, team, and you, so you can grow a business you love and live the life of your dreams. Welcome to the show.
Well, welcome, everyone, to another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the Dean and Founder of Directions University at directionsu.com, calling to you live this week from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do each week on Tuesdays at noon Eastern. We have got a great show lined up for you today. We have my co-host and friend, Linda Feinholz, the founder of the Breakthrough Academy at breakthroughbydesign.com. Linda is calling in live this week from Los Angeles, California, as she does each week with me. Hello, Miss Linda.
Hello. I feel like such a homebody because you've been being the world traveler all over the eastern U.S. for the past weeks, and I've just been sitting here calling in from the same wonderful sofa and the wonderful backyard view. So I feel like it's time for me to start going out adventuring now.
Oh, it would be nice for that to happen, would it not?
It would. It's actually been nice having a year off from going to conferences and conventions and trainings and speaking engagements. So it's been quite delightful to just be calling in each week from the same place. So
I am
so looking forward to today's show. I think you and Sarah shared an interview on a radio show, didn't the two of you?
I think we actually did.
I think we did. So for our listeners, Sarah Canuso, welcome to the show. Sarah is president of A Suitable Solution. She's the creator of a life-changing program called Influence to Income. It's a 90-day influence mastery program that is all about learning to use the power of influence in order to create both income and opportunities. And she is a widely experienced speaker, trainer, workshop leader, keynote presenter, and so on. And I'm so looking forward, Sarah, to your coming and sharing, in part, the journey you've been on with this material, but also your journey as well. And
I'm so excited to be here. It's just always so... So great for me to be able to share my story and my insights and my, you know, things I now know for sure, because I guess having sat in so much pain and sat in such, you know, turmoil for so many years, that I just love sharing it so that others can know that it's really never, ever too late to claim the life and be the person you were originally meant to be.
I love it because, you know, if people just go and look at the bio is that wonderful summary that's really directed, trying to get a singular message across. So when people read and see that you're invited to speak at the Pennsylvania, New Jersey Governor's Conferences on Women and American Bar Association Women's Rainmaking Conferences and to speak to women in technology and so on, that's one piece of it. And I'd love our listeners to understand the backside of how that all came about. So where would you like to start?
Yeah, so I guess, you know, I'd like to begin with really to the point where I have always had this inner voice tugging at me, saying that I should be doing so much more with my life. And of course, you know, there's so many people out there who are very, very happy to tell us who we are and what our limits are and where we should be. And unfortunately, it's typically always in the wrong place or a place that you're really not meant to be.
It's so often influenced by the voices of, quote, adults around us, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, so for me, I kept hearing this voice. And it just was such, it became such stronger and stronger. And I was working as a professional clothier. So I was doing all personal branding, custom clothing. And, you know, I just was like, and I have to share with you, I had a really wonderful job, but I knew I should be doing more. And I basically knew I was in the wrong lane. So I woke up one morning, and I'm going to add that it was 3 months shy of my 55th birthday.
Mm.
And I literally just stood up. I got out of bed, stood on my 2 feet, and said, "Today's the day." And I went into the office. I gave notice and never even told my husband until 3 days later because, mm-hmm. again, I told no one because I did not want to hear people saying, "What are you doing? You have a great job. Why would you want to give it up?" So I went in, quit my job, and I decided to listen to the voice that was inside of me. And fast forward 7 years, I have my own business. I write for newspapers, magazines. I travel all over speaking. And I share this not to impress you, but to impress upon you what happens when you really put your stake in the ground and say, "Hey, this is my life. I am going to reach my fullest potential. I am going to enjoy the gifts and the talents that I've been given." And, you know, I knew I would fly, but I never, ever dreamed I would fly this high. And again, I'm not trying to impress anyone, but to impress upon you what happens when you have the clarity and when you have no beliefs or, you know, when you shed those heavy weights, those heavy negative thoughts and beliefs that keep you from really moving forward.
When you were standing next to the bed, when you got out to start that day and you had that clarity that this was the day, did you have a concrete vision of what you wanted your world, your life, your business life to actually look like?
I did. Because, you know, I mean, I knew I wanted my own business. I knew I wanted to be a speaker. And I knew I wanted to be a writer. So I had the pieces. So it's kind of like building a house. You know, I know that you may know you want a four-bedroom, four-bath house, but you may not know so you have the pieces there. But, you know, once I really made the choice to say, okay, so this is what I want, my own business. I want to be a speaker. I want to be a writer. And so I had those nuggets there, those pieces. And so from that point on, it was pretty easy to put into place. Now, did I make mistakes? Absolutely. So I made some mistakes and I said, you know what? I need to tweak this a little bit, or I need to go to the left a little bit. I need to go to the right a little bit. I need to focus on this area of my expertise. So it was just a question of fine-tuning it once I got everything into place. But I have to tell you that what led me to this was my getting into the habit, and I had learned this from a friend, of fueling myself every single day with positive thoughts. So every single morning I woke up, and I would write at least 10 positive affirmations, like, "I am a business owner. I am a sought-after speaker. I am a writer." Things that had not yet even come to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I started fueling myself with the positive thoughts and positive visions of my future. So what you see is what you get, and what your beliefs, what you're thinking, will definitely lead you into that direction.
And it's so vital, as you're saying, to literally design the mindset you want to have, the mindset that's going to serve you to create that vision, to create the results you know you want to achieve.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things I learned, and I'm not sure if this comes with age or whatever, but I'm glad I realized it, that this is my life. And, you know, people always ask me, what, you know, you have the opportunity to speak to so many, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people over the course of the year. And I will share with you that I do have a very strong commitment to women. Not that I don't enjoy working with men, but I think women tend to step up to the plate more and admit that they're unhappy, or that admit that they're struggling, or admit that, you know what, I've chosen the wrong career. So while as men will, you know, men will say like, oh, you know, I'll handle it. I'll handle it my own way. So people always say to me, what do you find is the number one reason why so many women do not reach their fullest potential or remain in that stuck mode? And I can truly say that from so many people I hear that the number one reason I find is that they're living a story they inherited.
Mm.
It's not their own. So they're living a story that they've inherited from their parents, from siblings, from peers. One of my clients, I mean, she was just like, you know, I never, ever, ever wanted to be an engineer. But my parents said, this is what you need to do. She said, I was a violinist, and absolutely a gifted, talented violinist. And her parents said, absolutely not. There's no money to be made in that. And, you know, you'll go to school to be an engineer. And that's what she had to do. And as a result, was so unhappy, so miserable. And when you get up each day, when you open your eyes each day and with the mindset that, oh, I have to go through another day of working, it's not a good feeling at all. And I can honestly say, since I made that choice that day, and it's 7 years, I have not worked one day since. Because I'm doing what comes natural to me. And I'm doing what I love. So for me, it's like playing all day. I love what I'm doing.
And I love
it. Doesn't get any
better
than that, does it?
I love you sharing everything, because Gina and I talk all the time about the fact that when you're coming from your passion, your own personal interests, your own vision, it never feels like work. It doesn't matter what the clock hours look like. It doesn't feel like work. It feels like...
Oh, and listen, I have to tell you, I'm putting in more hours now than I've ever put in my life.
Uh-huh.
But to me, it doesn't seem it. It doesn't seem it. And, you know, it's just... To me, there's only one stream in life. So you're either going with the current or you're going against the current.
Mm.
And when you're doing what you love, it just always seems as though you're going with the flow.
Yeah, yeah. So you were standing there with this vision of being your own business,
mm-hmm.
speaking,
mm-hmm.
writing, and that's a really wide world to choose to play in. How did you know what it was you wanted to share through your writing and your speaking?
Well, I knew it was having my mess, making my mess my message.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it was helping other people realize the impact of image influence. So how do you go out? And I realized, and when I, you know, I was out there in the workplace, in the corporate world, the social end of it. And when I saw the impact of influencing people to know, like, and trust you, to really having you walk into a room and having people being like that, creating powerful first impressions, I said, wow, you know, there's really something to this. And also, you know, I was a professional clothier, and I realized the importance of branding one's image and how it could really take you to a higher level. So my experience was in, number one, branding, and really communications. I had been an assistant instructor for a while to Dale Carnegie, so I knew the impact of communicating with people and really influencing people. And so how do you really – and let me say this. No matter what area of our lives, whether it be with your children, your spouses, significant others, in-laws, outlaws, you know, even your workplace, at the end of the day, isn't it really how we influence people to really, you know, to see things?
Absolutely. You know, years ago when I was working with corporations and they'd say, Linda, we have to figure out the best way to do something so that it doesn't matter, you know, who's doing the job. I said, you're missing the point. Businesses aren't just machines operating. It's the humans who have designed the system.
Right.
They're living it every day and are making the decisions about what machine is turned on and what machine is turned off. And I say machines in a very generalized sense, but the reality is there is no business if there are no people actually living the business.
So I always say, I work with people on creating influence and creating powerful first impressions. So, but my question is always, what is the first impression you have of yourself?
Mm.
Because how you see yourself is how the world will see you.
Powerful.
Your
what
inner worth,
find
your
women?
Inner worth will always be in alignment with your outer worth. So once you change, and that's what happened with me, once I changed the first impression I had of myself, I'm like, whoa, okay. You know, I know I can do this. And, you know, it was interesting because I was listening, I was in the car listening to a radio station. And where I live, in the area I live, the circus was coming to town, and they were interviewing a famous tightrope walker who never fell off the wire. And when they said to him, why is it that you've never fallen off the wire? He said, because I never look back, I never look sideways, and I never look down. I stay focused on where I'm going. And for me, that was like, wow, is that not how life is? Because we go to do something and then we say, well, you know, I tried that in the past. Or somebody says, oh, Sarah, why would you ever do that? You were so bad at grammar and you want to be a writer. And that's what happens. It throws us off balance. It throws us off balance and then it prevents us from really moving forward. And you know, I can't change the past. No one on this call could change the past. So it's, you know, you have to come, and what we do is we allow the past for the belief or the negative thought or whatever the whether it's fear, self-doubt, guilt, shame. So what we do is we hoard that in our mind and we hide behind, you know, we hide behind the shadow of that. And when you hide behind the shadow of, you know, our past, our guilt, shame, whatever it be, there is absolutely no way that you're totally going to be able to shine your brilliance.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautifully put. And I love the metaphor, you know, coming from the tightrope walker, because it's so easy to then hold that image of exactly where are you right here, right now? Where are you focused?
Yeah.
Are you focused forward or not?
Yeah. And so, you know, I share that when you don't have the clarity, the clarity, you're always missing opportunities. There's no way you're missing opportunities every day because you don't have the clarity to see that they're for you. So now when I wake up every morning, I'm like, whoa, okay, another day filled with opportunities. And you know, I just had this conversation with a group because I always say that, you know, especially we as women, we get up in the morning, we take care of the children or the spouses or the significant others and get the kids off to school. And then we go work, work all day, come home. We will even feed the dog and the cat and water the plants before we fuel ourselves.
Mm.
And then at the end of the day, people wonder why they have no energy or no enthusiasm. So it's, you know, people say, well, you know, I really feel selfish. And I always say, you know, I take my lesson. I'm very attentive. The stewardess on the airplane always says, in the event of an emergency, you place the oxygen mask on yourself first. You will then be able to help others. And we don't give ourselves enough oxygen. So whether it be, you know, taking time out for ourselves, and I say it's not being selfish, it's being self-loved.
Mm. And it applies. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or whether you're a man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, regardless of whether. Right. Yeah, yeah, regardless of whether.
And I'm thinking about it in the context of who we each want to be in our own world, and by feeding ourselves first,
mm-hmm.
we're then fully energized to be able to turn around and be a manifestor in the world, in our business, in our life, in our relationships, and so on.
Yeah, because, you know, at the end of the day, when you're running on empty, trust me, you don't have the patience, you don't have the enthusiasm, you don't have the energy. And, you know, what I find is, ironically, once I started to really fuel myself and set up boundaries, everything changed. And I get more done and I have more enthusiasm and more time for people.
There's an interesting interplay with what's going on in what we keep calling the health and nutrition and fitness world, which is taking people who have not tended to themselves for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Who wish that there was just one pill they could take and that would straighten
yeah.
everything out in the system. What they need, each of us needs to learn to do, is actually literally feed ourselves, whether it's air, nutrition,
mm-hmm.
exercise, mindset, our thoughts, our visioning, so that we're filled up first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing. When you're fueled yourself, you have so much to give others. And just look around you with the way the world is today, and I get it, I understand. I mean, I'm blessed not to have to work two jobs, but I see women every day, and my heart aches for them because they're juggling so many balls. They're taking care of kids. They're taking care of sickly parents. They're working two jobs. You know, I get it. I see it. I understand it. And my heart breaks for them because it's like one, and when you juggle so many balls in the air, there's no way they're not going to start coming down, hitting you on the head.
So in the work that you're doing, in a sense, you're working, but you're doing both the inner work and the outer work with folks.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and what happened, this was the interesting part. So I was a professional clothier, and I started writing for a legal newspaper. I sent in an article, and it was called The Winning Look. And they said, oh, my, we love the article. And they made me a monthly contributor. I did it for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
So what was happening is the law firms were calling me saying, well, can you come in and tell my employees how to dress? And so I was going in and I'm like, you know, there's so much more to this, because what are we putting into the suits? What are we putting into the clothing? So that's why my programs are so unique and so powerful, because when I go in, there's an immediate impact on those who are in the program as how they see their future and how they see themselves taking control. So the reality of it all is, when you work on your inner image, the outer image becomes like the icing on the cake, and that is really easy. You know, what to wear, what impresses people, what influences people, how to walk into a room. Because be it fair or not fair, we are all hardwired to read first impressions. So here's what happens. People prepare for a meeting. So let's say someone's preparing for a meeting or a court case or, you know, for like 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and they're like spending countless hours, researching, putting the proposal together, getting all the facts together, and then they go to the meeting and they walk into the room, and within 7 seconds, that person is being very heavily influenced as to how smart you are, how credible you are, how trustworthy you are, and whether or not they want to do business with you. And that's before you even say a word.
Right. We know that so much from all the studies in communication that the visual is the first.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, be it fair or not fair, we all do it. We all form first impressions. So that to me is a lot to give away to someone. And, you know, the impact of body language, it is a language. That's why they call it body language. It's a language. It's an unspoken language. So
in the work that you're doing with people, are you helping them shape the language they're using, or you're helping them shape the energy with which
the energy and the way they walk into a room with their body language, mm-hmm. with their energy, with their presence. So, you know, and how to not only read body language, but to control their own body language.
Mm-hmm.
No, what is your body language saying about you? You know, we always say, oh, I wish I knew how to read body language. Well, are you aware of what your own body language is saying about you? So what I know for sure is your inner image, how you see yourself, is how the world will see you.
You know, it's very interesting. It serves on so many different levels. I've been someone who for many years, when I would walk into a room and I would greet someone or speak with them, I would find out afterwards that they just knew I was an expert because of the way I just operate with, a style, a body language that's from conviction.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Right.
Now, you know, sometimes that serves and sometimes that doesn't. Sometimes that is the right tone to walk into a room with, and sometimes it creates distance and so on. I can see that, especially if you're working with attorneys who need to create a presence in court, that there's different impressions to create at different times, and I've done my work learning how to shape and refine and not be on automatic, just
mm-hmm.
coming in with energy and strength. And so when you're working with people, helping them find those different, I don't know whether to call it styles or different voices, but that are about their energy and presence. How do you help them understand that and take that on?
Okay, so the key is, number one size does not fit all. And the key is to really, I begin by working with the inner image. So what is it that you, what is the goal, what is the vision that you have? What is it? And sometimes, you know, people don't know. People are stuck. They really do not know. So there are a couple of exercises that I do that are simple, that are life-changing, that have people really say, okay, let's be clear. Let's clear the fog. All right, let's clear the fog. Let's have some clarity here. Because once the fog starts to lift, it's amazing how, you know, how clearer things become to you. So, for example, when I started writing my IMs, you know, it was, I'd get up in the morning and I'm like, I don't know. I'm not really sure who I am. But when you spend some time with yourself, and you really start to listen, because we don't spend enough time with ourselves.
Very true.
That
busy world. Lots of noise,
interruptions. Lots of noise, lots of rattling in our head. And the number one reason that you don't have the clarity, people don't have the clarity, is because they have too much, and I'm going to call it fog in their head, and the fog by saying things that they've been hoarding around with them for so many years. So, we allow all this, all these beliefs, all these things that we've accumulated over the past years that are not serving us, you know, we allow them to live up there rent-free.
Beautiful image.
Yeah, seriously. So one of the things I totally begin with is clearing the fog out. We've got to declutter that, declutter your mind, declutter your thought process. It is life-changing. Oh, my God, it's just so life-changing. So I'll give you an example. I spoke at a workshop, and this girl in the room said, I'm 44 years old, and I just feel like I keep hitting I should be so much further in my career. I should be so much further in my career. And I feel like I just get to a point and it's like I hit a wall. Well, after working in the workshop and we started decluttering the thoughts and getting some things out of her head, she realized that I want you to keep this in mind. She's 44 years old. She's like 44, 45 years old. And all she keeps hearing is, she says, as a child growing up, every time she went to do something or every time she went to try something, her father would say to her, how could you be so stupid? How could you be so stupid?
It's so painful hearing that.
Yeah. And she realized that day, she said, that's it. I go to do something. I go to reach that next level, and that voice is saying, you can't do that because you're stupid.
Hmm. What a gift to be able to recognize that is the voice that's been operating back there like a gremlin.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, you know, when you have such when you have a voice like that, or when you have a fear or self-doubt or shame, you've got to recognize it and diffuse it. So the question is, number one, the comment is, okay, number one, you're not a child anymore. Okay? You're not a child anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's not the truth. It's totally not the truth. And look where you've come so far. You know, you've gone through college. You've gone here. And we've listed all of her accomplishments. You know, so, okay, let's list some truths. And when she listed on paper everything, the facts that were the truth, she's like, wow, there's no way I could have accomplished all of this by being stupid. So you have to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But she kept hearing that her father's voice in the back of her mind.
Mm-hmm.
So things like that. And I hear, believe me, I hear these stories over and over and over again, such as, you know, and they're typically, you know, things that come from your childhood or from people that you've, you know, siblings, teachers, you know, just people that we...
influencers, and we had no filter, and we just let their words come in and become faulty truths.
Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, so it's really powerful to get rid of this.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because one of my clients said, I felt like a bird that was let out of a cage. And it was so cute because she said that she was in a store, a little ornament store, and there was a bird cage there. And mm-hmm. she said she keeps it in her kitchen every day with the door of the bird cage open.
Oh, I love it. She said,
it's my reminder that I am free to be me.
Mm. Beautiful. You know, we're talking both about the inner side of this and the outer world of this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're living in a society right now where not only is it about first impressions, the first 7 seconds,
mm-hmm.
how you show up in confidence and presence and energy, but also appearance, including body weight and so on. And with the thousands of people that you've worked with, you must have folks who have an inner gremlin chatting about them because of their weight. They don't look like the cover of Vogue. They don't look svelte. They don't look like that star on television
mm-hmm.
who's in, quote, the same profession or role they're in. What do you do with them so they can get beyond something which can't be cured instantly, namely that outer appearance of physical reality, so that they can step into the new vision of themselves and a new presence? And
well, I think the key is, and I do have clients that are in that situation, and so I'll give you an example. So one of my clients, and she was very overweight, and it really just, you know, every time she went into a meeting or to meet with a prospect, she said, that's what they're looking at, my weight. They don't want to do business with me because I'm overweight. And, you know, and so what we found was, why does she feel she needs to maintain this weight? And it came back to, you know, I mean, we've got into this discussion, and it came back to her relationship with how she saw herself with her sister.
Mm.
So, I mean, I won't get into details, but here's what happened. So once we put that on the table and diffused that that's what the problem was, that's what was holding her back from really, because she said, you know, I weighed a lot less. So here's what happened. Once we diffused that, then she just put herself, I mean, I helped her diffuse the belief and the reason why she was at this situation in her life. But she went out, she signed up with a trainer, works out, goes to the gym every day, works with a trainer twice a week, and she just totally took control of how she, you know, of her own being and her own weight and her own body image.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot tell you, I mean, I think in like 3 months, she lost close to 20 pounds. And she's so focused and so energized because she's like, this isn't me. This isn't me. So I think that the key is, when people are in situations like that, why are they in that situation? You know, and there's always the belief behind that. So she always felt as though, you know, it was, you know, not to get into detail, but it was something, a relationship she had with her sister and her parents, and how, you know, so she always kept herself, because the sister was the shining star and she was like kind of on the back burner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but once she realized that, when you have some, here's what happens. So we have a belief or we have an obstacle, and what we try to do is we try to go over it, we try to go under it, we try to go around it, instead of going right through it and allowing faith to be our parachute.
Mm. Beautifully put.
So Do you see the difference?
Absolutely.
So you're going around it, you know, and it's always still there.
It is.
It's always still there. Well, let me try to go over it, and let me try to go around it. Let me try to go under it, but it's still there. But you have to break through it and say, you know what? I have faith enough to know that I'm going to be okay, that I'm going to do this and I'm going to be okay.
I love what you're sharing, and going back to where we started early in the conversation about this whole notion of we are our brand, we're the embodiment of our brand.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love if you would share this notion of brand. I think people are used to thinking, well, it's a logo on a front of a product and so on.
This I love, because everybody says, I don't think I have a brand. And I say, well, everybody has a brand. The question is, what is your brand saying about you? So people say, well, what is a brand? So, for example, I'm just going to use a couple of examples. So, for example, we know when we see Hillary Clinton, she's always what? In a suit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's in a suit for two reasons. She's in a suit, number one, because she has very heavy legs, big calves. And, you know, the news media is always over, all over her. If she wears a dress, they're like, did you see Hillary Clinton's calves since she left the White House? But she's also in a suit because she works in an area where she's with, you know, 99% men.
Mm-hmm.
So it puts her on the same playing field. Michelle Obama. So we know Michelle Obama. When we see Michelle Obama, she's a big-time cardigan wearer. She likes to wear sleeveless tops, and she loves belts. And then she's a big-time pearl wearer. So we know that she has a brand. The Queen Mother. We know when we see the Queen, she's always in a hat. She always has a certain look. So the question is, what is your look? What is your brand? Because your brand, really what it does is it tells people who you are, what you stand for, your reputation. So, you know, I always say to people, what is so casual about your future?
Oh.
Now, I have nothing against business casual, but there's a fine line between business casual and business casualties.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is also, are you ready at any given moment during the course of the day, are you ready for an opportunity that comes about? So, if I'm in a workplace, let's say I go into a law firm, and trust me, there are a lot of law firms that if you went in there, you would think it was the company picnic day.
Yeah.
Okay? So my point is, what would happen today if you received an email from the partners and they said, Donald Trump is coming in today, and you have the opportunity to, or someone who, we're giving a luncheon today. If you're invited to come, would you be ready? Would you feel as though you would be ready, dressed properly, your image, you know, able to go into that situation? I learned my lesson the very hard way, because at one point in time, I worked at the Greater Philadelphia Chamber of Commerce, and I was in membership. 6 months, I had waited to get this big account. And for me to get this big account not only meant a huge commission, but all kinds of accolades. So I had an appointment, and it took me 6 months to get the appointment. But I had everything scheduled. I had everything. I even knew where the president, I was meeting with the president, where he played golf, where his kids went to school. And it was a Friday in the summertime and, you know, quote, business casual. And this receptionist said that Sarah, Mr. So-and-so is here. I said, okay, put him through. And she said, no, he's here. Well, I was getting ready to go to the shore. I had khaki pants on. I had shoes that, you know, little loafers that look like the dog chewed them. Problem is, I don't have a dog. And I was so embarrassed And he said, oh, we were downstairs at the Palm restaurant, and we thought we'd save you a trip. Are you able to meet with us now? And I was so mortified at the way I looked, because I truly looked like I was ready to go to the beach.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I said, I will never, ever be caught in this situation. So what happened was, every time the president of the chamber needed something, they're like, Sarah, we need someone to go with this person to the Four Seasons for lunch. We need someone to go to this reception. I was always ready. Sarah, the president of the Italian Chamber of Commerce is here. We want you to take him out for the day, take him on a tour of the city, blah, blah, blah. We come back. He said to me, this was such an amazing day. I would love to have you as my guest in Italy. And I went and spent a week in Italy living like a queen. So the point that I'm saying to you is, I am always ready.
We live in a world that's revering the business casual, in particular because of what's going on in the tech world, where people are enormously successful in their blue jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And that, too, is a brand.
It is a brand. It is a brand. But I will tell you this, that people, because I'm out there, that is definitely a brand. So obviously I would never, ever, ever put an attorney in the same brand at clothing I would a tech person. So so I had a call the other day from a woman who started a tech company, and she's really going places with it. And she said that she's really going out now to meet with prospects. And would it be okay for her to wear jeans? And I said, absolutely, but here's what you do. So you wear the jeans, and then you wear like a nice white shirt, but always, always, you know, have like a blazer on or a jacket. A jacket is always a sign of higher influence. So two people walk in the room. One has a jacket on, blazer jacket. I don't really care what kind of jacket it is. The other person has on like a golf shirt. Person with the jacket is going to have the most influence.
Oh, fascinating. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Person with the jacket is going to look smarter, more credible, and he's going to have the upper hand.
And it's part of those first 7 seconds.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So when we talk about the top three ways to influence people, clearly one is how you choose to dress, clothe yourself.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the others?
The top three ways to influence people is, number one, your posture.
Mm.
When walking into a room, and I don't care what room it is, to be so aware of your posture, your shoulders back, and walking into a room, and the handshake. People don't realize the power of a hand in both the way they speak using their hand and the way they connect with people shaking someone's hand.
So interesting. I was in a business meeting yesterday, and a gentleman reached across the table and shook my hand with a tennis grip, you know, really strong, overpoweringly strong grip.
Okay, so do you know what he was thinking?
I don't know, but he added the second hand on top, and my instant reaction was, I'm being controlled. I didn't feel greeted.
And that's exactly what he was doing.
Yep.
So that's what he was trying to do is send you a message that, you know what, I'm in control here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in control here. That's exactly and that's exactly how you felt, correct?
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was supposed to be a meeting of peers, and I felt, I'm looking for the proper word, I really felt this individual trying to make sure I understood that he was powerful.
Yep, exactly.
Unnecessarily so.
Mm-hmm. And that's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he was doing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, fascinating.
So, but here's what I'm saying. If I go into, so being aware of body language and having a pretty good sense of body language. So if I walk into a room and I meet with someone and they give me that handshake that's really like powerful, strong, like I'm in control here, so then at least I know I've got to like, I've got to be a little bit more aware of what I'm doing and my, the way I'm handling myself and the conviction that I'm coming out with when I'm dealing with this person.
Mm-hmm.
As mm-hmm. opposed to if I go in and someone is really, I know that they're okay, they're open with me. It's a different, it just takes on a different tonality.
Absolutely. The energy in the room changes, everybody's body language changes.
Absolutely.
Conversational styles change.
That's my point with being aware of, you know, reading body language, because, you know, it's, would it not be to your advantage if you're in a meeting with someone and you're trying to, you know, maybe obtain a contract, wouldn't it be to your advantage to know if they're not liking what you're saying? So if I see, if I'm able to pick up on someone's body language that, oh, this meeting is not going too good, they're really not liking what I'm saying, I would immediately change the course of the conversation. And the most immediate way to pull someone out of a negative thought or a negative action is to pause and ask them a question. The most immediate way to do that.
Oh, fascinating.
Ask them a question.
I use questions all the time, but I never thought of it as a strategy in the way that you've just framed it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, again, like I say, being aware of the image, body language, you know, it truly does give you a, you know, an advantage point of, you know, going in and saying and having them really, you know, at least having an idea of what, you know, what they're leaning toward. Because the body will not lie. Only the words that come out of our mouth.
Mm. Yeah,
and another area is color. Colors really influence. Colors psychologically affect people.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've been aware of for years. And one of the best lessons I ever got was from a woman, an amazing woman who works with color and style and so on, who pointed out that in my entire wardrobe, I had at the time one blue top. And she said, where's the rest? And I said, what do you mean? She said, you have blue eyes. Where's your blue tops? Because when you dress in your own eye color, what do people see? They simply see more of you,
mm-hmm.
more goodness with you.
Yeah, so it's, you know, all of these things. And, you know, it's not rocket scientists. But it's just giving you an advantage of having the upper, you know, of really making your life a little easier. And as I said, this is my life, incidentally. So I'm taking responsibility for it. And I'm taking responsibility for it. I'm claiming it. And I want what's mine. I want what is mine. I want what is here, was given to me for me to enjoy.
Mm. I love
and
it.
You know what, by doing so, and that's why I realize, you know, being on the other side of being on the other, coming from behind the shadow, is it's just a whole different world. And that's why I'm so passionate about helping other people. Because, you know, you meet with some people and they say, well, I think that this might happen if you do this. Or they say, you know, that this might happen. This I know for sure because I've walked in those shoes. I've sat in that pain.
Right. Nowadays, you've mentioned being brought in to work with attorneys, to work with people in firms, to work with people in the business world and so on. So many of our listeners are solopreneurs, are experts, people who speak from the stage. You know, this mm-hmm. is a really wide variety of folks. If they would like to learn and understand how to apply this for themselves, how would they go about learning from you?
What they could do is I have a couple of great programs specific to entrepreneurs. So if they go to my website, www.asuitablesolution.com, they can learn more, or they can, I think, do they have a connection through your site?
They do. If they okay. go to bbdnow.com/Canuso, C-A-N-U-S-O, they're always going to be taken directly to your programs.
Okay, that would be great. Yeah. So that's what I would hire. But I, you know, I work with a lot of solopreneurs because I realize, excuse me, this is one of those days when I'm talking a lot. I realize that that there's nothing like crossing over to the other side. There's so much more here. There's so much more. And at the end of the day, you know, what's it all about? We're here for, you know, why are you here? Why are you here on this earth?
To be our best gifts and
yeah.
multiply who we are in the world and help others, serve others.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that at the end of the day is what it's all about. So, again, I love especially conveying to people, because people say, well, you know, it's too late for me. It's too late for me. It is never, ever, ever too late. Never too late to be that person you were meant to be. All of the gifts. And here's what the interesting piece of it all is. When the fog starts to lift and the clarity comes into place, people are like, wow, I never realized I was so gifted or so brilliant or so talented. Because what happens is, you know, we're given these gifts, these talents, and over the course of the years, they're just so beaten down that at times we just feel they're lost.
And the gift for change and transformation and breakthroughs and being able to change and change direction in one's life, I love the fact that Gina and I have called this Breakthrough Directions, because it's
mm-hmm.
you know, truly the interplay between both of those. And it's the same thing for each of the people that are learning from you, which is this notion that it starts with self-awareness.
Right. And yeah, at the end of the day, that's where it all begins.
Yeah. And having the clarity to be able to get rid of the gremlins that are chattering at us,
mm-hmm.
see who we actually are standing on that tightrope, that
mm-hmm.
beautiful tightrope, giving no longer any attention to
mm-hmm.
behind us or the voices yammering at us or what may be below us, but focused on who we are, present in balance, standing on that rope and heading out forward is just fabulous.
It was funny, I was walking, taking a walk with my sister-in-law, and we were having this conversation, and I said, oh, in case you think that those are wrinkles on my forehead, no, they're not wrinkles, they're just gates that I put up, because I'm very fussy about who I allow into my thoughts and what I allow into my thoughts. So she was like looking at me, I'm like, yeah, I have new gates. So I always use that analogy. I'm like, you kind of have to put gates up there. Once you get these people, these gremlins out, you know, you put the gates up. No. Nobody's allowed in unless you're here to...
You know, ladies, we are almost out of time. We have 60 seconds left. I didn't jump in because you guys were doing such an amazing job. It just seemed like a horrible time to come in.
Come on in.
Well, I just want to really thank you for the opportunity to be here and share with your listeners. It's just been great.
Yeah,
it's been our pleasure having you here. It has been an amazing show.
And I so encourage people to go ahead and take a look. Look at Sarah's writings, look at her programs. The fast way to get there is bbdnow.com/Canuso, C-A-N-U-S-O. And Sarah, you're inspiring me to go back. I'm back in my own self-awareness, you know?
There's always time to do that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the gift of everything you shared today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, both of you. Linda and I will be back next Tuesday at noon Eastern for yet another episode of Breakthrough Directions here on Blog Talk Radio. Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah.
Join us Tuesday at noon Eastern for the next episode of Breakthrough Directions, from relationship marketing to business success.